want to say,
yes, let me be still and listen to the truth.
Oh.
That's kind of necessary.
That's about releasing.
Wow, huh?
That's a necessary one. Yeah.
It talks about releasing thousands of folks. You know, this is real stuff.
Yeah.
By your practice.
I've taken a lesson that's not a lesson, and I just figure it's okay to go with it from the book, and I've been on it for like 8 days, and it just gives me such peace that I'm sticking with it.
Yeah.
That Jesus will take care of everything that does not matter and will guide me and everything that does, because anytime I worry about my teenage daughter or my work, I'm like, oh, Jesus will take care of that stuff. Yes. I don't have to worry about it. And yes, I just feel this like total peace. Yes. And I'm like, all I need to do is what really matters, which is focus on this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like the greatest thing. I don't know why it's not a lesson. I just need to
be here. I know, really.
Yeah. That one is, for real?
36, yeah.
What is it?
You read the whole thing, it's got 5 pages. It says,
you can take
all
this.
You have to do is listen for the voice of God and everything else will work out right.
Oh, yeah, but it's not the actual line of the 136. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, it would be a wonderful lesson. But there, it's helping you use separation appropriately.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so great because it was too hard for me to turn away from my earthly responsibilities and the illusion, and I mean like not doing them but like having anxiety over them and rolling them around in my head all day until I could grasp onto the idea that, oh, somebody's taking care of that stuff for me.
Yes.
And actually I need to get out of the way to let that be taken
and
care.
And for you to understand which things don't matter and which things do is a testament that you're comfortable with that statement. Is a testament to your progress as well.
Yeah, well, I'm really clear what doesn't matter, which is like everything. according to Jesus.
And if you ever wonder, lesson 133 will spell it out for you. Go ahead. Yeah.
But it's not as clear to me what does matter. Like it's such a vague esoteric. Like I get it, kind of like coming here, this book, like tuning in, but. Yes. I can't really verbalize what it is that matters.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Sure it does. The things that matter to you are the things that you can control. That's a pretty small list when you look at the world. So the Course says that with the situation you found yourself in, you have one remaining power. You've stripped yourself of all the powers that would otherwise lead to love. You see, love is a problem here. Love means you're going to have to join and then be, you know, not separate. And that doesn't work here. But still, because of what you are and what you're doing, you have one remaining power, the Course says. And that is the power of choice. So, okay, cool. So in any situation, you can involve this power. And the things that matter are the things that you can control. And the only thing that you can actually do, let's say, let's be fair, do in this world, is to judge how you feel. This matters. Because the problem is we've gone blindly into the world without looking for peace, joy, love. All the things would lead us back to light. We don't even look for them. We just do. So, in order for you to not do that, you'd have to have a guide and watch the guide. And the only way is judge how you feel. You do have a barometer in you for peace. You know what fear feels like. You know what hate feels like. You know what anger feels like. You know what jealousy feels like. You know what sorrow feels like. You know what loneliness feels like. You know what powerlessness feels like. You know. And you know how it feels. Clearly. We don't have to talk about it. But hopefully, so, and I know for you it's true, and I know for everybody here that I know, you've come to a point in this material or somewhere else where you got empowered for a few minutes and felt free. You actually felt free from your own thoughts. And you know how that felt. From that empowerment, your mind began to join back with what we call the Christ mind. or you can have thoughts you think with God. That's why it's the only thing that matters. The things that you can control, the only thing you can control is looking at how you feel. There's nothing here to do.
Yeah, it's such a peaceful thing. Like with my daughter, I used to have so much, you know, worries, and I've only been practicing this for like a week, but I was driving with her and she was, you know, she has like shin splints, she's complaining her legs hurt, and anytime I'm like, well, let's go to the doctor, let's go to the physical therapist, she just gets mad and shuts down and doesn't want to talk to me about it, or she's coughing and I'm worried about that. And then I just realized, like, Jesus, like, this is all just like illusion stuff, and Jesus has got this. Like, I don't need to worry about her cough, I don't need to worry about her shin splints, and if I do, it's going to stress me out, and we're going to have like an argument, and so I'm just not going to do it, and I'm not going to worry about it, because it's not that big a deal, it's going to be fine. And I like have been doing that, and it's like so amazing.
It's amazing. Also, when you don't worry, you take that worry element out, you end up doing the same stuff you would have done. You make the phone calls, you go check this, you check that. You still do things as a mother would do, things you're responsible for. But the fear is missing.
Yeah, the fear. Totally, the fear.
How much more useful are you as a person without fear? A lot more capable. Open-minded. I mean, it's a different way of living.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Good job, Mom. I will be still, listen to the truth.
Let me be still and listen to the truth. And this is the part I like. Let me just read this real quick. Be still and listen to the truth today. For each 5 minutes spent in listening, 1,000 minds are open to the truth, and they will hear the holy word you hear. And when the hour is past, you will again release 1,000 more who pause to ask that truth be given them along with you. That's
definitely. Yeah.
I mean, this is like exponential love.
Yes.
Love spreading.
Yes.
That relates to purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. And you understand also that A Course in Miracles, everything that we do is we're reversing the way that we did the ego. We're using the same tool to undo the ego. That's what you just described as the undoing of the ego. It's also true that when you have fear, when you really dedicate yourself to fear, minds who are looking for fear will find comfort in your fear thoughts. There's one dreamer, so you're connected to it at all. So we're just going to undo. We're going to go back up the same staircase. Now, remember this, though. The light has a far stronger effect than the darkness. They're equally powerful. That's the bad news. The good news is that it's very much this way. A little bit of light stands out in a lot of dark, doesn't it? If you're in a dark field and somebody turns a flashlight on at the end of the football field, what did I just see?
Or a firefly.
Little light makes a difference in a lot of dark. A little dark makes no difference in a lot of light. This is how it is. So this is the good news, okay? That's the good news. So, good, Brother John. Bet. It counts. It counts!
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay, we're going to finish the section tonight. Don't want to skip a few things here. Let's look at it this way. So your mind operates on concepts. Kind of whether you like it or not. There are things, and there's ways you think, there's things you think are true, things you think are false, and they sort of give you something to hang your mind on, your thoughts on. These concepts make you comfortable. The ones that we care about tonight are whether what somebody does is good or bad. These concepts loaded in that. Whether what they did is going to hurt you. There's concepts in how you can be hurt. They're just preloaded your whole life. Things that will hurt you, things that will help you. These are concepts that are loaded in your life. So, we're dealing with this deck of cards that you already have. You're holding on to, okay? We're sorting through this deck of cards that's your ego. That's your life. And the Course in Miracles is we're going to help you let go of the blocks, the conceptual blocks to your peace, to your awareness of what love is present all the time. You have to let go of the blocks. These blocks are concepts that you just believe are true. Concepts that can limit you. I've said it many times, I'll say it again. The whole problem is that you know something with your heart and soul, Zoe, that's not true. You know it, and you will defend it, you will fight for it. You know how to describe it. We'll come to tears if you tell us your version, because we understand. But it's not true. So A Course in Miracles says, this is a course in mind training. If we don't do, we undo. Blocks that you've placed in your own mind, we're going to undo. Oh, good. That's the good news, and there's no bad news, really. Except nobody could do it for you. I guess that's bad news. That's bad news.
That's good news. That's good news.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you don't want anybody digging around in there, huh?
No, no.
Let's think about that for a minute, okay? Let's think about blocks that you might have to your own happiness that you're hanging on to. A big part of a spiritual journey is your own self-discovery. Nobody else matters. There's nobody else here. So a question like this. Very personal. Julie, take a minute if you can and try to catch up with us. And the question is, look into your mind, get honest, and find some concept that you've been holding on to, preferably for a long time. Something you think about yourself or your life that's been keeping you back from happiness. That you could be even happier if. I believe if such and so were different, I could be happier. Dig out these blocks, because it's like the subconscious, you know. You just leave it in place because you believe it's true. And why bother questioning it? Since it's so true, why bother questioning it? Nothing you can do about it anyway, right?
All right.
That's the sad part.
I'm with you, Andrew, on that one.
What, you got one?
Hell no. Again, it's too personal. Yeah. It's too personal, I admit it. I just want to
know. It's actually, this one is so personal today, it's much more valuable that you go personal and hear it yourself than you tell the group. It's great if you can tell the group. And you let me dig in, and it'll be so much fun.
But I'll tell you what, I'll try to contribute.
All right.
Just be a smart ass. I think that a lot of stuff that comes up that might be, you know, regarding our, you know, excuse me, acceptance or acquiescence to the illusion we buy into.
Yes.
These things are solvable in Course theory.
In course,
which is not theory.
It's a real. It's a real tool.
Reality, it's through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I personally have been trying to find a way to contact or connect with the Holy Spirit more and more for, you know, the purposes of, you know, at least ameliorating.
Yeah.
Making better.
Yeah.
Some of the issues I have.
Yes.
And if not make them better, just, you know, kick them out altogether. And so this all, what I think, just goes to the Holy Spirit and how we can access the Holy Spirit part of our course work.
Yeah. Now, apply the Holy Spirit is another word you might be looking at. Because Course in Miracles says, readiness is not mastery. You can read this book, you can memorize this book, you can be able to quote it and speak it, and even tell other people, hey, you should check out this lesson or so. But the mastery of it is when you can apply it to situations in your life and see it work.
It's not a field of academic study.
Right.
It's something that you must live.
Yes. That's the gift of A Course in Miracles. And, oh, thank goodness, it even tells you how to apply it in the middle of the book. It spends 479 pages taking you by the hand, hour by hour, sometimes minute by minute, in how to work with your mind around these blocks. And that's the workbook. 365 easy to follow steps. That's right. That's the essence. That's right. Very good. Yeah. Well, let's go in order. You can, and please just pass. If it's too personal, you didn't come out, just pass. Okay, you bet. Okay, you're up.
So the thing that I fear the most.
Yes.
Is I want my family members to be happy.
Yes.
And I have this. I can't get past my judgment that a lot of them, including myself at times, is taking a path in their life, my life, that isn't going to work for me. And what that leads me to is what Cecily was saying. I listen to the voice for God all the time, and I hear it. I hear it all the time. But I haven't gotten an answer yet as to how I have enough faith that this is going to taken care of for my family and me.
Yes. Yes. My favorite definition, which I came up with myself, why I like it so much, of Course in Miracles, is that it's a psychological journey to a spiritual awakening. We have to change our mind in order to recognize the Spirit.
And I'm having trouble changing my mind about their path being okay for them.
Yes. Yes. Certainly.
Or even my path sometimes, although I really believe my path has been directed by the Holy Spirit, I don't see how theirs is being that way.
Yes.
And that's my problem.
Is the Holy Spirit strong enough to come to even them?
Yes.
With what they're doing and where they're going? Is your question?
I think it has something to do with I can't see their path.
Mm-hmm.
And leading them to the Holy Spirit. That's what bothers me.
Yes.
If I could see it, it would feel more real.
Yes. Yes. Your heart and your loving motherness has an idea, a concept of what their happiness could look like. You're wrong.
I'm what?
You're wrong. It's not happening. But their function is only happiness. God's plan for them is perfect happiness. Not happiness the way you think is good enough. You have an idea of what their life should be.
Well, I have an idea that I would like to see them on a path to coming to this book someday.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. That's wonderful.
And I don't see it.
It's a dream.
Well, thank you.
I think she's suitably validated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, we fixed that right up. I guess. That's why it hurts, Luann, is because you're wrong and you want to be right. And you know you're wrong.
Uh-huh.
You don't have power over their lives.
That's right.
You did not create love. You did not make the way love is felt and experienced and manifested. You have one power remaining in your existence. It's the power of choice, not the power of doing anything.
And what shall I choose? That's what I don't know.
You must choose your happiness.
Well, crap.
Oh, no. No, crap is right, especially if you're a mother and a grandmother, because you think, no, my happiness does not come first. My children come first, and that will make me happy. Mm-hmm. That's pretty reasonable. I think that's pretty reasonable. The problem is it's not true. You know that it's true, that if the children are happy, you're happy. Happy wife, happy life. Happy child, happy life. Happy boss, happy promotion. That's the way it works, right? All you gotta do.
You know, I have to relate my kids to all those other things, like boss.
Well, problem is that your unhappiness gets more of your attention than the little happiness that you've afforded yourself. Whatever happiness you afford yourself, you know, it's great. You can write a book about it. Your unhappiness gets more of your attention if you're like the average person. Yes?
And isn't it, tell me if I'm wrong, but like our children that we're worried about that are unhappy or doing things that we're not happy about are really just a projection of our own issues, anything separate at all. Is that right, too?
This is correct. This is correct. Especially because you're making a summary judgment on something your child did over the past 4 days. Something your child did over the past 4 days. And you're making a judgment on that. We had a great discussion last week about raising children. Mm-hmm. The parents punched in. And I think it was Stephen that said, you gotta appreciate that the teenage mind is insane. It's not linear. And yet you, as an adult, with a bigger picture, are trying to make sense of them weaving their way through a non-linear thought process. It's crazy making. You're right. It's your own block. Your own concept. Your own concepts are in the way. Yeah. You provide, is what you do. You provide an opportunity the best you can. That's what you do. You have to do this for yourself, too. For your own happiness. For your own happiness.
You told me one time that you were going to be telling me I need to find my own... My goal should be finding my own happiness. And you were going to say it to me often.
Yes. So
I walked right into that one, didn't I?
Yes. And also the other half of that is you can't change somebody else's happiness.
Yep. That one, Yep.
You can't do it.
I've learned that about my clients. I haven't learned it about my family.
Okay, that's a good start. Good start. Yeah. 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 So it's all about the concepts in your head that you believe are true, but they're blocking what you think could allow you to be more happy in your life. You have one for us, Stephen?
I believe I don't need anybody. Mm. I can do it all on my own.
How's it working for you?
Well, for most of my life, inadvertently, it's left me searching, unhappy, with only momentary glimpses of what I think happiness should look like.
Yeah.
In relationship to other people.
Yeah.
Today, I don't know what I can say objectively. Today, it occurs for me that I am now so well buffered that I'm fine.
Yes.
Like, it is not worth the risk to deal closely with other human beings and either get sucked into their drama or sucked into my own drama.
Yes.
And ultimately get hurt.
Yes. You want the good news or the bad news first?
Go for it.
Well, the good news is you're right. The bad news is you're right. Turn to page 244 in the text. Let's just see if Stephen's reading the right book.
This is a page we haven't been to before.
Yeah, we've been there.
Well, I mean, since I've been here.
Well, if we haven't been there, then it's the wrong page. And I got to do it.
You'll have to work with the first section.
244 in the text.
And it says, you who prefer separation to sanity.
It's number two.
That's me.
Yeah. That's a little personal, isn't it?
244. Yeah, you're almost there.
I had a girlfriend, and she every time she saw those words, she was, instead of saying "yoo-hoo," she said "yoo-hoo." She's like Jesus saying "yoo-hoo." Hey, this is for you to listen to. Yoo-hoo. You prefer separation to sanity.
How did you know that was a paragraph you wanted?
I don't know. I wasn't.
It was me, not that paragraph as well.
Yeah. So when I have circled from before.
You guys all have serious problems.
Yeah, well, that's one that we had studied before, but we're looking a little at 12 tonight.
Oh, 12.
Just for Stephen's comments. Did you read that for us, Stephen?
Sure. To single out is to make alone, and thus make lonely. God did not do this to you. Could he set you apart, knowing that your peace lies in his oneness? He denied you only your request for pain, for suffering is not of his creation. Having given you creation, he could not take it from you. He could but answer your insane request with a sane answer that would abide with you in your insanity. And this he did. No one who hears his answer but will give up insanity. For his answer is the reference point beyond illusions, from which you can look back on them and see them as insane. But seek this place and you will find it, for love is in you and will lead you there.
You were right that for you to be able to understand oneness, you don't need anybody else. That there is somebody else is the problem. If separation is real, there's somebody else. So you're right. You're on the right track with your right mind. And all sorts of great things come from oneness. The ability to actually share with other aspects that you're connected to, really. That's way better than trying to share with bodies, which are actually separate things. There's all sorts of inconveniences with trying to share one body to another. It's a union where union's excluded because we're still separate. But in oneness, there's a sharing that has to occur because you are connected directly. And you can't imagine it. You can't imagine it being in a body. So you're right. That's the good news. The bad news is, if you deny the other parts of yourself, you're making separation real. So there's some real reconciling to do there, cowboy.
Really? No kidding.
And this is just kind of a clue right here.
Yeah, that has hit home.
Yeah, nice. Carol, you got some thoughts that just were different, you'd be happier?
Well, it's very interesting, and I thought it was interesting that I'm wearing this to be the change.
Yeah.
It's the first thing that struck me after I began reflecting on it.
Yes.
And, well, I actually came up with two, but the strongest one, I think, is similar to Luann's. I'm about to go up to Seattle. My daughter's having some surgery. Yeah. And my son and daughter have been on a separate path for a while now, and they used to be extremely close. Mm. And I want him to be a certain way with her right now.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's been tearing me apart.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
There's a block.
Hmm?
There's a block to your happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really have let it be a lot.
Yes. And what happens to us is when we get into the presence, we get in a situation where our love is called for. Likely your daughter's going to go under some surgery. Really nice to have mom there strong.
Yeah.
Mom there confident. Mom there with a connection to God saying, I know just how this is going to go. This is the right thing to do, honey. And I'm here to support you. This is moments just like that where our happiness and our confidence is just a wonderful thing to be, to carry and to share. Moments like that. Yeah. So, this concept of your son digging on your daughter and them being friends and buddies and pals like they were before, is that required for you to show up and be a happy mom and bring you all your strength and the love that you have for her? Is it required that your son cooperate?
No.
So put it aside.
No, I have all kinds of things in mind that, you know, how I want to be and everything, but yeah. How I'm going to be.
And how you already are.
Yeah.
You're just bringing the truth.
Right.
It's not pretending or trying even. It's you are.
Yeah.
You're already that. And the confidence, what you bring, just when you're studying A Course in Miracles, you bring a perspective that very few people have that can be really helpful when somebody is undergoing a threatening situation like that.
Well, I know it's been heartbreaking for her that he's not being there for her. Uh-huh. Although he thinks he is.
Yes. Hmm? No. This is true for everybody here.
Yeah.
Your idea of some will make somebody else happy is a fantasy. It's just a story. It's a story that you think if A plus B happens, then C will come out and everybody will love C. And it'll be the best possible happiness.
But if you look around the world and your own life in particular, look at all the things that didn't come true, the things that didn't happen in your own personal life. Other things did happen that nobody saw coming. There was a unique challenge and an opportunity for love that occurred. And love came out of some place you didn't even notice. It was possible until it was called, until it happened. These are what the world is good for, is useful. The Holy Spirit comes in, take a crappy situation, and you'll be the linking chain to bring love back in a horrible situation that never should have happened, and you'll be there to rejoin it. And that is that return to love, that moment of awakening, is where the Holy Spirit can use this world to help you enact and have you create love. But it comes from crap. It comes from trouble. It comes from problems. Two wrongs do make a right. Is the Holy Spirit involved? Yes?
Well, thank you for being made specific what I was going to say. But I also want to say that my life has been a series of people helping me to get to where I am now in this room. And that gives me, from what you've just said, at least the hope that was going on for my daughter and my granddaughter and my son and his family. The only one I know in my family that's always happy is my grandson.
Mm-hmm.
He must have had some wonderful pastorates because he's always
happy. I just wanted to say to Carol that there's the lesson that Julie has mentioned last few times, number 24. Has been so helpful to me, and I think can be helpful to you in the situation. I do not perceive my own best interests, and that has you like think through the thoughts. Like in this situation involving my son and daughter, I would like this to happen,
mm-hmm.
and that if you actually like play out the different scenarios in your mind, there'll be like multiple different ones. And they don't all, like, I don't know, you said it so well,
mm-hmm.
but, like, that there's, you know, you don't even know what you really want to have happen, and you're going to even in what you think you want, there's going to be some sort of a disappointment at the end of, like, every one of those thought paths. And this lesson, like, demonstrates that so well. And then we realize, oh, I don't even really know what I want to have happen in this situation.
Yeah.
You know? Like, maybe I should give it over to the Holy Spirit.
So, yeah.
That's Thank a great, yeah, that's great, you. Cecily.
That's
yeah, that,
good.
Yeah, that one. As you end up at the end of the day, you, if you really, really do it, you try, you end up in the morning with some great idea, and then you kind of modify it as the day goes on. And by the time you get to the end of the day, some of the things that you think, oh no, this is really the best thing, should, contradicts what you thought in the first part of the day, because you found there'd be a problem with it eventually, or it was unnatural, or whatever. Yeah. Yep. It kind of gets us back to the most restful thought, which is, I don't know
what anything is for.
Anything
yeah.
is for, including this. And then you're free to just show up with what you already are, with what you are in truth. And then you try, don't change any of the world. Just change your mind about the world and decide it's okay right now that he feels that way and she feels this way. It's okay. It's love is a building. And like I say, I wish I had more elegant words, but the most beautiful experiences of love on this planet come from crap here. It comes from problems, challenges. It comes from dysfunctions of all sorts. But then when you make the choice to bring them together, to have a loving moment, you create love in that moment. And those are what your creations are in this world. And it's beautiful. I wouldn't be traded for anything. You know, so let that happen.
Well, thanks. That's very helpful. I'm glad I said something.
I'm glad you did, too.
Yeah. Me, too.
Zoe, do you have some long-held concept that keeps you from happiness?
I'm my own worst enemy, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're never going to get it right.
Yes.
I believe that I can't get it right.
Yes.
But it's only because I keep searching for the right answer.
Yes.
It's like, you know. Anyway, no, that's been with me for a long time.
No, that's very good. No, absolutely. Now we're raised that way, you know, in bodies.
Can't you do anything right?
Yeah. Because then if you do it right, then it'll be right, and it'll pay dividends.
Exactly.
So A Course in Miracles busts that.
Good.
With this concept, the correcting concept. I'll just give you the shorthand, and we'll investigate it much more depth another night. But some of you might recognize this crazy phrase from A Course in Miracles. Chapter 4 and 5. Having and being are the same. Trying to get it right. You do something right in the world so the world can do right back to you. You can enjoy the benefits of having done it right. It's an outside focus. The truth is, having anything of value and being are the same. Zoe. That's the shorthand. That's why the only power you have, the only thing that matters, is how you feel. Your being is the only thing that matters. Everything else comes and goes, you know what, just... But your own happiness, same for you, Carol. Choosing to bring your happiness with you instead of any other baggage to that trip. Just bring your happiness with you.
Right.
Then you will be happy. You will have happiness and you will be happiness. This is the power that you have as mom. The wise one.
Thank you.
And Zoe, your life is your next thought. And were you to somehow harness happiness instead of trying to do something right, your next thought would be happiness. Therefore, your life would be that. And you would be what you have chosen to have. It's the math of the mind. We say it again and again in so many ways, right? What is it, Julie? What are we talking about?
The law of love.
The law of love. Which is also the law of?
The mind of mind.
Which is also the law of?
God.
Happiness.
Yes, which is also the law of?
God.
Yeah, God, the Holy Spirit. Which is to give is to receive. As you give, you receive. As you give, you receive. When you give is when you receive. This is the law of love. Just because it's true, not because it's required, you don't have to give love. And often you don't. But the law stays the same. If you give fear, you get the fear first. If you give hate, you get the hate first. You receive it just as soon as you give it. That's why it's so easy for us to say, hey, that's the truth. Somebody ask you, what's the truth? Hey, fancy pants, Course in Miracles student, what did you learn? Did you learn anything true? Tell me something true. You spent all this time with that book. Give me the truth, smarty pants.
Yeah, really.
I'll tell you the truth. The law of love is the truth.
Yeah. Seems like the truth is real simple. All that we have a bunch of truths and stuff, and then they start dwindling down and shrinking down and love.
Yeah, right.
You call the whole thing love.
Yeah,
you know, we just don't know what it is.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you know, some peace, some happiness, some love.
Yeah,
and a better purpose.
Yeah,
pretty simple.
Keep going up toward the light. But, so, you got anything for us, brother?
Me? No, I pass.
All right, Julie. Some concept that perhaps keeping you from happiness.
I'm in control.
So if you're in control of everything, you'd be even happier.
No, I guess I wouldn't say that. But just that I can fix this, I can control this, I can figure out the answer. I can solve it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can't think of the perfect quote, but the Course talks about, oh, thank goodness you're wrong about that. Mm-hmm. Because you are a fear-filled little puppy. All of us are. And so the control that we'd like to apply would be a fickle, fragile experience. Because we're too small-minded. Our controls, our plans, they don't come from the wisdom of love or of oneness. So, oh my God, my God, you're not in control. Mm-hmm. Be grateful that there is one in you that has access to the truth. Mm-hmm. But it's not the one, it's not the you that you know right now. Mm-hmm. But it is in you. It is you. It's part of you. Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good basic. That's really good. For mothers too. Mother just, why don't you control it all? You in control. You could bring your kids the highest happiness they could possibly have. Oh, that sounds good.
It doesn't ever work that way, but okay.
Yeah, and would your mother have known how to give you the right happiness?
Not on this earth.
I mean, you just said something at the very start with what I said when you said, oh, if you were just in control of everything, you'd be happier. And it was like immediately, like the answer is no. Hell no.
Right, so just in the reframe there, it was helpful. But I have this belief that if I just have a little bit more time, I'll figure it all out, and I'll I can solve it.
I'll figure it out. I'll get it right. Just give me some more time. Extend the deadline, and I'll get it right. Yeah.
The only time I ever get it right is when I'm doing what the voice for God tells me to do. That's the only time I ever feel like I did it right.
See, the you that you have control of, this level, would extinguish creation entirely. It would extinguish the spontaneous creation of life that is working. Yeah. No, we don't want that. Kenny, is there some concept in your life that you could just change it? You could be happier?
Kind of changed it, I thought. So my thought at the beginning is that I'm afraid that I'm going to be left alone, and then it was I'll be found out, and then I'll be left alone.
Aha, uh-huh. Yes, very good. Yeah. Well, that fits perfectly. You bet.
Yeah.
And
then the parent thing, my daughter lived with me till center at graduation.
Yeah.
And I didn't put her first. She wasn't first.
Yeah.
She was in the list.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I don't think I had the same thing these women had.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think I'll be found out. I'll be left alone.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Very good. And so, ego's strategy is that you would deserve to be alone. And on page 244, paragraph 12, to single out is to make alone and thus make lonely. Next sentence, God did not do this. To you. Could God set you apart? Could God set you apart knowing that your place, now your true, your peace, your true, your existence lies in God's oneness, which means there are no separate parts. So the idea that you could be separated out, and let me just jump to the punchline here, and die and stay dead. Left alone, really alone. No more life interaction. You hang out your soul because you were bad and separated off from all the people who were good. This is the impossibility that the Course, you'll see it in here many times. This is one of the places that you see it. It's impossible that you could be excluded from God's love. It's impossible. The dream is that you could be alone. The dream is you could separate out. The dream is that you would have to, even, in order to be happy, get away from all the insanity. That's the false dream from which you have to struggle really hard to survive. The Course says, wow, time to wake up now, and what you're waking up from is a nightmare that you are alone. You exist separate from all the power that is. In the ego's dream, you have to be separate in order to have something different from God. But the truth is, when you wake up, you find yourself at home, in heaven, dreaming of exile. Yes?
I just want to say, based on what Kenny was saying, you know, I've definitely, like, felt that way before, like, oh, I'm inherently, like,
bad or not good enough or something like that. And what's helped me so much is the concept of like guilt in the Course, that we feel guilty because we believe we separated from God. And you know, this at first when I learned this, it sounded like a freaking fairy tale story. It's just like so far out there. But I've just told it to myself enough and said, I want to believe this, you know, because I just do. And I believe this book, and I want to believe this story that sounds so crazy, that I'm just going to keep telling it to myself. That, you know, I feel guilt because I believe I separated from God, and I didn't really ever separate from God. That's just a fantasy. Therefore, there's nothing to feel guilty about or bad about, and that I'm one part of this whole. I'm not one separate being that needs to justify my own existence and self-worth, because I'm part of this huge whole. I just kind of melt into it. And not like feel like I have to like shoulder my part or something like that.
Yes.
And that little like narrative gives me great peace.
Yes.
So, I don't know if that's helpful.
That's crossing the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That's moving away from all the truths of the world and moving your mind to the truths of heaven, Holy Spirit, and oneness. And what happens when you do that, the Course would have you do that so you can feel, it actually is enlightening. It lightens your heart, and you say, I like it better. I like this connected, I'm part of God feeling, instead of I'm the struggling ego that might just die off in obscurity. I like it better. And you find out you can hang on to it because it's true. It is self-empowering. I talk about it this way. I say that spirit has gravity. And the closer you get to spirit, you get drawn in by it. And you feel the power of the spirit, of the truth of that. It involves you. It envelops you. And that's what we're doing here. This is what enlightenment is you're crossing this bridge from something, you know, very material and dark to something invisible and light. They don't mix. But you have to be adventurous, just like that, as you perfectly described. And you mind if we spill a paragraph from tomorrow's lesson on you?
Go for it.
Okay. Everybody turn to lesson 107. It's one of the most beautiful. Is it 107? I think it's 107. And it's just like, woo! Talk about empowering.
So 20 pages this
week. No, it's 109.
Oh, 109.
Yeah. Go to page 197 in the workbook. Yeah, I want you to lesson 109, actually. Yeah.
I call these kind of lessons embracing lessons.
Yes.
And there's a number of them, like my
197.
My heart beats in the peace of God and so forth, but they're ones that just hold you.
They hold you, yes.
You know, a lot of them are work, and then every once in a while there's one that just holds you.
Isn't this the way?
So I call them the embracing lessons.
You get a big hug. Yeah, very good. Beautiful. Beautiful. I rest in God. We ask for rest today. And quietness unshaken by the world's appearances. We ask for peace and stillness in the midst of all the turmoil born of clashing dreams. We ask for safety and for happiness. Although we seem to look on danger and on sorrow, and we have the thought that with this we'll answer our asking with what we request. I rest in God. This thought will bring to you the rest and quiet, peace and stillness, and the safety and the happiness you seek. I rest in God. This thought has the power to wake the sleeping truth in you, whose vision sees beyond appearances to that same truth in everyone and everything there is. Here is the end of suffering for all the world. And everyone who ever came and yet will come to linger for a while. Here is the thought in which the Son of God is born again to recognize himself. I rest in God. Completely undismayed. This thought will carry you through storms and strife and your daughter's surgery and your kids getting along or not getting along, past misery and pain, through things that should happen in this house, damn it, past loss and death, and onward to the certainty of God. There's no suffering it cannot heal. There is no problem it cannot solve. And no appearance but will turn to truth before the eyes of you who rest in God. You see, because it's your mind coming back to the forefront, your true mind, with the Holy Spirit, instead of the ego being in the forefront where all your problems are. Yeah, it's a hug. It's an embrace. It's beautiful. Thank you, Julie. Bridget, do you have a concept being an angel? I'll do that.
I have a list.
Oh.
Starts with unworthiness.
Okay.
Anger. Mm-hmm. Everything's a piece of shit. Mm. You know, everything just turns to shit, it seems like, yeah, in this reality.
Yeah.
And that's where I find myself most of the time.
Yep.
And then prove it comes up a lot. Prove it. Mm. You know, like God. Why isn't God here?
Yeah.
You know, I got it. I find myself in both worlds, and to prove that God is here.
Yes.
Is really, you know, I can be so in the spiritual world, but then coming back into friends, work, I don't see it.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so we're just have to let's start with that as a reconciliation of if God is true, why isn't God here now? In this place, it goes to shit, proving he's not here. This isn't God. If it goes to shit, it's not God. And yet it all goes to shit. So, to your rescue, neatly packaged for you, is lesson 133. That's a 133 is a solution to that crap that's in your head, in all of our heads. Lesson 133 is really stark. It's something that you should maybe only have after a good meal and a good night's sleep, because it really does a bit rock your world.
Yeah, this is rough.
It can be, you know, but she needs you need a Brillo pad on this, okay? This is not where you massage your shoulders and say everything's okay. Because everything's not okay. Right? What you really need is lesson.
Well, parts of it are.
Yes.
You know, when I'm there, it's awesome.
Yes.
I get it.
It's a tease, though.
And then I want to share it.
Yes.
You know, and yes, then it's just like people look at me like, you know, or I don't have that skill to share it skillfully.
Yes.
You know, it's either cram it down someone's throat.
Yes.
With my enthusiasm, or yes, I don't say anything, and then it's like.
Yes. Yes, and that's a real two-edged sword. Trying to share it, when it does work, your happiness, and trying to share it, and it comes out wrong. Not only do they not believe it, but you're starting to lose belief in it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's a prove it thing.
Oh, no. I made it worse for both of us. It was real common. Yeah, that's right. Right. Because you've taken the invisible and you tried to make it visible. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a really common, wonderful mistake to make.
Well, the ego, I know that's the...
Turns out.
The ego is just right there.
Spiritual ego would love to get a hold of your happiness. Yeah. It won't be after it's done. But there is a happiness to be had here in valuing the valuable, and don't value the valueless. The things that don't matter, let's let them go. Don't want them anyway. They're just a bunch of hooey. Trying to get something right that doesn't matter means that you would get something that doesn't matter perfectly right. And then it still won't matter. What are you doing?
You want that. You do that every morning as soon as you get up.
Right? No, yeah. So, we're just going to skip. One day we'll spend some time on this lesson, but not tonight. We're just going to look ahead to some of the cheat sheets here. Okay? I will not value what is valueless. Okay? Okay, look at paragraph 3, sentence 1, just to give you a clue of what we're doing today. When we get to lesson 133, it says, today, we list the real criteria by which to test all things you think you want.
What? I'm sorry, paragraph
3. Paragraph 3 on lesson 133, page 245 in the workbook. Today we list the real criteria by which to test. Oh boy, this sounds good. This is good and practical. Oh, we get to finally get something done with this Course in Miracles. We'll let the criteria which to test all things you think you want. Now, unless they meet these sound requirements, well, they're not worth desiring at all. For they can but replace what offers more, the things that are worth having, the things that do matter. The things that you really want must be good, valuable. So let's come up with a list, a way to decide, and to kind of weed out the things that are worth keeping, and then that's going to guide your life, the rest of your life. The rest of your life is going to be really easy once you get this down. The laws that govern choice you cannot make no more than you can make the alternatives from which to choose. You can't make this up. The truth is true. In choosing this, you can do. In fact, you must, which we've said earlier tonight. It's the one power you have, is you choose. Well, good. Because, you know, that's personal, and I want to be the master of my domain. But, record scratch. And as we've said, when the word but comes up, whether it's ego or spirit, when it says but, you can forget everything else I just said. And I'm about to tell you the real truth. Zoe, it's really nice that you chose that chair tonight, but... Uh-oh, she's like...
But?
Yeah. It's Carol's chair. Uh-oh.
Is it your chair?
That's a real problem. Because the whole message is really, it's somebody else's chair. Oh, no, you can. It's not Carol's chair. But the but means really wake up. Here we go. But, all this nice stuff, right? You get the power to choose. But it's wise to learn the laws that you set in motion when you choose. And what alternatives you choose between. Okay, we stressed already that there's but two, however many there appear to be. There's only two choices. What are the two choices, Julie? What are the two possibilities in reality?
Love or fear.
Love or fear. That's it. That's it. And there's no neutral. If there's two choices. If there's neutral, it'll be three choices. Wow. It's that simple. Well, thank goodness we're going to get some progress here, aren't we? You did lesson 133. You're ready to go. Right? But two choices. Okay, here we go. The range is set and we cannot change. It'd be most ungenerous to you to let alternatives be limitless and have all sorts of possibilities. No, there's love or there's fear. Which one do you want? Anybody pondering which one they'd want? Either love or fear? No. It's pretty good. It's good.
Each choice brings you either nothing or everything.
Oh. Oh.
Cliff notes.
It's right there. I just read ahead a little bit.
Oh. So they matter. It matters. Okay, now, let's just look at the first one, then we're going to have to get back to tonight's reading. It's on paragraph 6, sentence 1. It says, first, if you choose a thing that will not last forever, what you chose is valueless, period. Big pause, on purpose.
My socks aren't going to last forever. I don't understand. I spent a lot of time choosing my socks, and now it's just pointless. But pretty much what I do with my life is go to places and look at things and go, I think this choice would be better. And now they're not going to last forever. Oh, what a waste of time. Oh, my God. I'm only half, like, half joking. But the other part is, why do I value my socks? What's going on here?
Because the conundrum is what Cecily was pointing out. Because there's a bunch of things that don't matter, like socks. And hand those over to Jesus. You know what? Just you handle it. I'll do the best I can with socks, but it's not going to be my habit.
I don't have kids or nothing, so it's like I got to find something. And socks, you can see, like, that's pretty valuable. Your kid will be around forever as well. I just got socks that won't last. This doesn't seem...
Kids aren't around forever.
I can't say it's unfair because I know it's not unfair or fair or anything. Just, I guess I'm going to have an obsession with socks.
I can tell you do.
Oh, see, it's
true. It's rubbing off. It's working.
To learn now.
I hope you brought the right socks tonight.
Undo my sock problem.
I mean, these are great socks.
Wow. Oh my God, it's just going downhill quickly, isn't it?
Isn't that what it's like, an unlearning of what we learned?
Yes.
So that's the undoing.
Yes, you have to undo this mindset to remove the blocks that these material things can bring happiness, because they all change. Perfect sock gets one day in the laundry, only one of them comes back. Ah! Where's that other sock?
Right, but it's not just the material in the traditional sense, so like relationships or a certain feeling about your job or anything. You get attached to that.
Yes. So Course in Miracles is a spiritual journey. And this sentence is indicating to you what we're really talking about as valuable. Can you name one thing on the planet Earth that will last forever? So this gives you a clue that the valuable things that you can experience are not visible. They're not visible! That's what matters. And this is what carries with you, Carol, when you go up there to Washington, the biggest gifts you will bring are not visible. The most powerful, lasting gifts you will bring are not visible. And you're loaded with them. Good. Okay, that was fun. One day we'll come back to that. There's so much in there, right? There's like three more. Tests of what's valuable in that lesson, 133. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, let's go to page... did you want to tell us? Do you have a concept that blocks your happiness?
Well, I have an item at the moment that's been irritating me because I'm trying to sell my house.
Yes?
I got a point where, okay, I'm dying. Going to sell the house, get out of it, and it's been like lasting for... it's not selling, it's not this, and then... Yeah. Well, that to me is what's all of a sudden popped up.
It's a block.
Yeah.
It's standing as a block.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just gets down to, I guess, to sell it, get your money out, and otherwise, you know, it becomes hard because...
It's a formula. If A and then B, for sure C will happen.
Yeah.
And sell the house now.
Yeah. But it doesn't happen. Your dream is not happening. My dream not coming true. Then I... But like Steph knows, I got like a new renter over there. And Steph will tell you, he's not so cool. He's not doing his part of this, what he's supposed to do or nothing. He's not making the dream come true.
Uh-huh.
No matter what happened, then put it on the market, and then the market goes nuts.
Yep.
Santa Cruz puts in some crazy rent control thing, and everybody in the world scares shitless, and 500 houses go on the market. We want out of this right now. We're not going to do it because, uh-huh. you know, if you... You can get somebody stuck in your house forever. You can't. And so like, oh, just not. Just like,
doesn't this sound like a nightmare?
And I'm like, whoa. But so then I try and forgive it, let it all go, and I get peace. And then something else pops up. Something else pops.
All of these, yeah. aspects of trying to sell a house, yeah. looked at that way, is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Those are blocks to your happiness.
Yeah.
If you keep doing the calculus that way.
And you just kind of, you can let it go for a bit, and then it goes, but then. comes back, and then you know, yeah. two people not couldn't get a loan, and all of a sudden a loan pops up, and I got a loan.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting a loan. It's not so now. I'm going through that process, and
yep.
they come on. We want this. I go. Oh shit! I got to go fix this thing, but if they don't give me because you know.
Well, what a twist! Loan. What a left turn! What yes. a left turn happened yeah. all of a sudden.
And it's just constantly going on. It's like man, yeah. it's like a big test because I'm constantly having to let it all go. This crap, forgive it.
Yes.
Go to the next step. Go to the next step.
Meanwhile,
yeah,
your next thought is going to be your life. And it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So you could actually start pouring in with these lessons and applying the lesson of the day to which aspect of that nightmare that you're living with that particular block and turn it into a happy dream.
Yeah.
Well, turn to page.
I find little things that, you know, Andrew, but then I keep thinking there's something bigger here because
yep.
it'll give me a little bit here, a little bit there, and what's really going on? Why am I... It's irritating me.
Because there seems to be a meaning to it.
Yeah.
But it's meaningless.
Yeah.
It is meaningless.
I'll go, what's the meaning? Well, this is, I don't, this is, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't mean anything. Your happiness means something. That means something. But the world about you, the things that have it in it, don't mean anything. Turn to, oh man.
Yes, 744.
Page 300.
You got this, I think.
I got it. Oh, I'm not sure I got it. I think it's 383.
In the text.
Yeah, 383.
See?
God, that was close. 383, this is for David. 383, paragraph 4.
Oh, we're in text for that lesson.
Or the text.
383.
Paragraph 4. Cecily, would you read that to David?
Happy dreams come true, David. Not because they are dreams, but only because they are happy. And so they must be loving. Their message is, thy will be done, and not, I want it otherwise. Mm-hmm. The alignment of means and purpose is an undertaking impossible for you to understand. You do not even realize you have accepted the Holy Spirit's purpose as your own, and you would merely bring unholy means to its accomplishment. The little faith it needed to change the purpose is all that is required to receive the means and use them.
Okay. So, let go of the outcome. And choose a happy. Choose happiness.
A couple times that I get it, that's what I actually have to do. I let go of it, but then something...
Right? It does. The world,
something else pops up.
The world does the world. The world does the world.
God. It can really... You have to get really on the wall with it.
You have to get... You have to be vigilance. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, the vigilance part. I notice it's like, this is making me like... I'm good for a while, then something else pops up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone called me up the other day and goes, yeah, I guess, it, yeah, the guy was leaving the place a mess. So anything pops up and it could just get you going.
Sure, and there's plenty of reason to be unhappy about
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
yeah. If you're doing with the laws of the world, yeah. But you know what? Let's live a better life. You could live the ways of the world, it'll provide for that. There's a better way. It takes courage, though, to cross over that bridge and actually start living that way. But that's, you're starting. You're saying, you know what? I'm going to work this in my head. Oh, I like it. I like how it feels. It makes you a better person to hang out with, too. Same for your kids. They like hanging out with mom a little bit when she's not so uptight. Yeah, it's all good. Okay, now, if you would, page 428 in the text. Yeah, it's, yeah, we can just pull together a few good things here with the time we have. Look at the paragraph 11 is where we are.
440 what?
And it's page 428. Okay, so let's see if we can just pull this off in the time we have. Okay? Luann, would you read for us paragraph 11?
Here is your Savior and your friend, released from crucifixion through your vision, and free to lead you now where he would be.
Okay, now, what we're talking about is somebody in your life that's not behaving the way they should. And causing a difficulty. And they just don't seem to be interested in behaving the way they should. This is...
Oh, no, man.
Yeah, that person. That's who we're talking about.
You're talking about my family.
We're the whole family!
No, he's talking about my daughter.
Yeah. This, which was... the problem is now the teacher of the one solution. This, the concept you have around this person that was the barrier to your happiness, is now the invitation to understand the power you have to be happy at all.
Okay, say that again.
This would be the block to your happiness in this world is now going to be the method to show you your happiness. Okay. That was going to be the block to your happiness, this person, this difficult situation, now will be the quickest method to show you the power of your mind to be happy. You see, it's in the contrast of the impossible that love shows its strength. You see, when everything's perfect and, you know, lovely and happy and, you know, yeah, you said you really like me and everything's going great and it's a beautiful day and everything's happening just right. Oh, no test. No strength. Unless the wind blows and the rain comes down, do you know that you have a good house?
So you can have multiple saviors.
Yeah, you got a bunch, huh? Yeah! Boy, a whole gang of them.
Had a whole family and then the whole workforce.
Yeah. And now the workforce too.
Abundance.
From that statement, we're bound to be saved.
So many difficult ones mean so many saviors.
So many opportunities.
So many opportunities.
Look at that frame shift you just did. Yeah. Throw
us. The opportunity for forgiveness.
You're surrounded. Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's continue. Luann, I think you're up for prayer.
Oh, I was, but I forgot where I was. Okay, he will not leave you nor forsake the Savior in his pain. And gladly will you and your brother walk the way of innocence together, singing as you behold the open door of heaven and recognize the home that called to you. Give joyously to your brother the freedom and the strength to lead you there.
Okay, we'll read that sentence again, because this is key. This is the instruction from Jesus. This is the key.
Let's read it again. Give joyously to your brother the freedom and the strength to lead you there.
To lead you there. What we're talking about is giving strength and freedom to the ass-holy one we're having so much trouble with. Ah! Do I have to do this? Yeah. Yeah, you do. Because it's... this is key now. Everything that they do that your brother, that your brother's ego does is wrong. So that's the good news. Everything. So you can read, we can rest in the Course of Miracles of support that everything that their ego does is wrong. But your brother himself is always right. What? How do you decode that? We're empowering the spirit in them, not the actions in them. We're empowering the spirit that drives them, not the, what they do in the world. This is how you can join with them, even when they're doing the exact wrong thing. They will feel this love and support. Even though they know you'd rather they didn't do that.
But they didn't mean, are you?
How else do you make sense of this crazy world when things go wrong all the time? And the way you make sense of it is, we're going to start to see the invisible. That's what vision is all about. The body's eyes are trying to keep track of things in the world. It will continue to fail and see chaos. But your mind must now see through what the physical world's showing you to the spirit behind it. And that you can join with. It's the only thing you can join with. That's where you're going to find the love. We have just enough time to barely do this.
Can you give me as an example? Like, say you're, let's say you're living with somebody and they're just a nightmare.
Yes.
Doing all kinds of crazy shit.
Yes.
And,
you're talking about you saying?
Yeah.
Is there about your life?
Yeah. And the person, you know, people just, they can't handle this shit, and then how do you look at, how do you put all that?
I'll give you an example from my own life. Okay. This wonderful, beautiful girl, Karen. And she would do some pretty wacky stuff with her car keys.
What's that?
Her car keys.
Car seat?
Car keys. Okay. Oh. Karen, she, God love her, she's listening. Karen, I love you still. You know I do. But Karen, who had two jobs, she was an intensive care nurse, RN, and she was also a flight attendant at American Airlines. And so these are some pretty tough schedules you have to. One of them's 12 hours handling little babies.
Two jobs at the same time.
An RN and then a flight attendant for a military type airline. You know, that precision. The plane has to go, you got to be there. Otherwise, you're out. You know, very tough. Your hair has to be in a certain knot and bun, and your clothes and your dress and perfect, or you're out.
But she is in the service?
So no, but nonetheless, she had these two very demanding jobs with deadlines and shifts and people, right? And one of the things that you need is to be able to get in your car and go when you're ready. It's hard enough to get ready and get the uniform on.
She and always wants to
go, but it would be, where are the keys, right? Where are the car keys? Zero. And so I said, I got a hand. I made a copy of the key. Here you go. Off she go. We'd find her keys later, right?
That's great.
And then I just put a little dish out, see, by the clock radio. I said, this is your dish, sweetheart. It's just big enough to hold your keys. Oh, that did not go over well. That did not go over well. You think I should put my keys in? That's the right thing to do? I have to put my keys in that bowl? Is that what you're saying? You're trying to control my life. She felt so insulted that I picked out a bowl for her and tried to squeeze her life down. So it was a kind of a tough part in our relationship. I was just trying to help. And you know what? This is better for you, and it's better for me. Neither one of us has to run around looking for your keys. My keys? I'm the problem now? I had to just back away from trying to be right and get her to think the right way with the bowl and the keys. And when you come home, if at any time you look and the bowl's empty, let's find the keys then, before it's tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and you have to wake me up so we can find the keys so you can drive to work. If the bowl's ever empty, let's solve the problem then. The bowl's going to be empty a lot. That's the way she lives her life. That is so restricted. That's not the way I live my life. I want to be free, Andrew. Don't you want to be free? I want to be free. Don't you want freedom? So I had to go with the spirit of freedom. I do want to be free. And I want her to feel free. I really do. More than I want her to have those keys. So the spirit behind it was freedom. And we both want that. That's love. She wasn't feeling loved by me. Because I wasn't looking at the spirit of why she comes in and just throws her stuff from wherever it goes. And so she could just get rid of that uniform. And wherever the keys are, get rid of that too. And go take a hot bath. That's whatever it is that she needs to do, she needs to do. And not be, put something, dig out the keys and put them in the bowl. That's not free. You got to feel the energy, the freedom behind it. That's what I mean.
Okay.
Well, how is it working for you to have her lose her keys because she wants to?
I made a bunch of copies of keys. Hey, you know what? I found my solution. All right, now.
So, you fill up the bowl.
Yeah. Automatic bowl full of keys. 200 keys. I got a bigger bowl, so you put more keys in the bowl. Yeah. All right. Let's continue.
Okay.
In this sentence, five.
And come before his holy altar where the strength and freedom wait to offer and receive the bright awareness that leads you home. The lamp is lit in you for your brother, and by the hands that gave it to him shall you be led past fear to love.
And by the hands that gave it to him, this lamp, this light, shall you be led past fear to love. Love is where the joining is. So let's see if in the last couple of minutes if we can first turn to workbook page 195. I think we have just enough time to do this, so that's what we do. So you can drop the other page and let's just look at Lesson 108. This is a good three paragraphs of 108. And it's what we're talking about in these last couple of weeks. It's vision. Instead of your eyeballs and the world's accounting of what's right and wrong, it's vision knows the energy behind it. What she's, the craziness that she's going through is all driven by something you both love. And can join on. You can't join on the chaotic mess that happens, the results, the outcome. You cannot join on that. You can't. That's crazy. But you can join, and you will join, with love on what is driving it. That's how you can find the holy part of a relationship, the holy relationship. You can join on that. And you keep it. These kind of joinings you keep forever because they're true. But it's vision we're talking about. Let's read Lesson 195. And so, Stephen, would you...
Lesson 195?
It's
page.
It's a page 195. Thank
okay,
you.
Cool.
Lesson 108. Thank you. Good call. Good catch.
Whoa.
Yeah, Lesson 108. Yeah. So, Stephen, would you read for us paragraph 1?
To give and to receive are one in truth.
Whoa! What's that, Julie?
The law of love.
Indeed. Okay.
Vision depends upon today's idea. The light is in it, for it reconciles all seeming opposites. And what is light except the resolution, born of peace, of all your conflicts and mistaken thoughts into one concept, which is wholly true?
So, David, what is this light that the Course in Miracles would have you have except the resolution, born of peace, of all the conflicts of your wife and mistaken thoughts about what should be happening with your children, Luann, into one concept? Wow, we wrapping all that chaos up into oneness again? Is that where we're going? Yeah, naturally. Boy, wouldn't it be simple if you could have one concept to replace all the crazy concepts in the same place that these crazy things are happening? your vision would see the one power behind them that's driving them, even though there's crazy outcomes. See? This is key now. Let's continue.
Even that one will disappear because the thought behind it will appear instead to take its place. And now you are at peace forever, for the dream is over then.
Did you say the dream is over? The nightmare is over then. Oh, yeah. Carol, paragraph 2.
True light that makes true vision possible is not the light the body's eyes would behold. It is a state of mind that has become so unified that darkness cannot be perceived at all. And thus, what is the same is seven as one.
Seen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, seen, sorry. Seen as one. While what is not the same remains unnoticed, but it is not there.
Zoe, 3.
This is the light that shows no opposites, and vision, being healed, has power to heal. This is the light that brings your peace of mind to other minds, to share it and be glad that they are one with you and with themselves. This is the light that heals because it brings single perception based upon one frame of reference from which one meaning comes.
Thank you. This is the light that heals because it brings single perception based upon one frame of reference from which one meaning comes. That is a peaceful experience, to reconcile everything to one frame of reference, to have one meaning for everything. Somehow that seems like sanity and peace. Oh yeah. Did you know that's what the book is about? Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. You see, it's your own beliefs that there are blocks to your happiness that keeps life having difficulties at all. The truth is that were you to back away from your problems just a little bit, go still for a minute and back up and come back to the problem with the Holy Spirit. You say, Holy Spirit, show me this differently so that I can be happy through this. Let me close the body's opinions and the ego's eyes. Let me open a spiritual eye. Let me see the invisible power that's working behind this that has in common the power that's behind joy. How can the same power that drives joy also be behind the insanity I'm witnessing with this assholy one? Ask this question of the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, show me this differently. Show me how I can show up as the loving one in this situation. Take the fear out of it. Take the anger out of it. And do this. Choose happiness for yourself. And it's contagious with people around you. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Oh, really tough stuff,
meeting
huh?
You, Zoe.
How long
did
it take?
I have reservations for you.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
like,
good night.
Sorry.
I feel like, yeah.